Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. And the reason they've been able to serve it for decades is because they take the best care of their customers. They find them the right insurance at the right price, and if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They make it very personal because you, the customer, come first. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Brandon Smith, Penn State linebacker, is going to join us, and also Nathan Davis on the show tomorrow. Downtown Lincoln, Nebraska. Did I ever tell you about my first trip to Lincoln? I think I have.
If so, you may have shared it with the suit and not with me. So, yeah.
22 years ago, first trip to Lincoln. Yes. I shared nothing with the suit. I kept everything a secret from the suit. He doesn't know. Penn State plays in the NIT. Penn State played the first game of the NIT, Rec Hall. We're down 20-14 to play, rally and win. Pete Lisicki had a couple of big shots. And so the second game of the tournament is going to be at the Devaney Center in Lincoln. So we fly out to Kansas City, then we fly from Kansas City into Lincoln. Okay. And we're staying at the Cornhusker Inn downtown, which is where we're staying tonight. It's now the Cornhusker Marriott. And in the middle of the night, the fire alarm goes off. Like, you got to be kidding me, really? And I'm talking about like 2 in the morning, something like that. Turns out, it was wrong. Okay. Then it's 6 in the morning. The fire alarm goes off again. This time they make all of us leave our rooms. Well, it turns out there is a fire, but the fire is at the chicken plant 2 blocks down the street. And the fire at the chicken plant continues for a couple of hours. So the entire town smells like roast chicken. After 2 hours, you couldn't stand the smell of roast chicken anymore. I'm thinking, this is my first trip into this place. Penn State was down 12 in that game and rallied to win, then went on to beat Iowa at Iowa, and then get to the NIT Final Four, where they ended up finishing in third place. They beat Canisius for third place, coached by John Beilein. John kids me about that to this day. He says, I think you and I are the only two around still from that game. I said, I think you might be right. It was John's last game at Canisius, and it was also Bruce Parkhill's last game at Penn State. Roast chicken. Chicken plant. Fire. Oh, fond memories. Now they play at this downtown arena. Pinnacle Bank Arena, which is a beauty. They did a really nice job in this place. And they sell out. They sell out.
So. Yeah, usually chicken in Nebraska, you normally don't connect the two.
Well, I connected it that day, believe me. The other part I remember is that remember Ron Franklin?
Yes. Yes, the former ESPN broadcaster, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, the 2005 Ohio State wideout game. Yes, he did call that game.
Yeah, well, Ron, in 1995, he did that NIT basketball game on TV. and he was in the hotel, so he and I just kind of like hung and talked for a couple hours. Actually, he was kind of a cool guy to talk to. Yeah, a lot of fun. Ron, a great voice. Great voice. And he did call the 2005 whiteout game at Beaver Stadium, yes. Penn State won Saturday at Illinois. Penn State is now 61 in the RPI with the 17th rated schedule in the country. You're saying, oh, well, you can't be talking about the big tournament. I'm not. I'm not talking about the big tournament. It does come into play with the NIT. The problem with the NIT is this. None of you have a single clue at all how many spaces are available in the NIT. It is impossible to predict. And the reason it is impossible to predict is that regular season champions who do not win their conference tournaments get automatic bids to the NIT. Last year, the number was 19. That meant there were only 13 available spaces in the NIT. So you just don't know. It could be 10, could be 12, could be 8 in terms of champions. If it's 8, there are 24 open spots. I mean, you know, so it's different because you don't know how many open spaces there are. But Penn State has 7 wins now against the top 100. Penn State's played 26 games. 16 of the 26 have been against top 100 teams. They're 7-9 in those games. Take, for example, Michigan. Michigan's 9-8 in the 17 games that they've played against the top 100. Penn State actually has more wins than Michigan against the top 25, more wins than Michigan against the top 50. Michigan has more wins than Penn State between 51 and 100. And Lamar Stevens today was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. He had 25 against Maryland Tuesday night. He had 21 Saturday against Illinois. And Tony Carr's playing at a really high level. We related that story the other day on the broadcast about after the Rutgers game, Shep Garner and Tony Carr went over to Pat Chambers' house. And they sat down and they said, hey, look, don't worry about it. We got this. That makes all the difference in the world for a coach. When the players take ownership of the program, you've got enough to worry about as a coach. And if you have to be the one that's in charge of the culture, in charge of the locker room, in charge, I mean, that just heaps more on the coach. When the players sit back and the players understand and accept the culture, when the players accept and understand their responsibilities in the locker room, when the players can change the tone of a practice in the right direction, that makes a big difference in the direction of a program. It takes a while to develop, but when it does happen, it's important. I'll never forget 6 years ago that memorable give and take between Joe Paterno and Mike Krzyzewski in Eisenhower Auditorium. And they were talking about the value of leadership. And the two of them were talking about, in their vast experience, the value of leadership. And Joe Paterno talked about that with him when Mike Reed and Steve Smear, they brought that value of leadership in his initial years and the difference that it made, that they would come to him and they'd say, don't worry about it. We got it. Mike Krzyzewski said that guy for him was Shane Battier. He said, Shane Battier, he said, I knew the locker room was taken care of because of Shane Battier. I knew in a practice there were certain things I didn't have to say. Shane Battier said it. It made his job exponentially easier because he could then concentrate on the basketball parts of it and not have to sit there and sweat all the other parts because he had a leader that would sweat it for him. That was dependable. And dependable leaders make a big difference because then when you start removing certain parts from the plate, where a coach can then zero in on the winning and losing of games and not have to babysit every other element of the program, it makes a big difference. We'll talk to Nathan Davis a little bit about that tomorrow. I think that's he's got that kind of team right now, that they take ownership of what they have. We'll get him to talk about that tomorrow on the show. We'll force him to. But it makes a big difference. Penn State played two games last week. Do you realize in the two games combined, they were behind a total of about 3.5 minutes total? They led almost wire to wire against Maryland. They led not quite, but almost wire to wire against Illinois. They were behind maybe 3.5, 4 minutes the entire week. They played with the lead. Young team getting better. And a big part of that game on Saturday was Mike Watkins. On a day where Julian Moore was not on the trip, they needed Mike to play more minutes than he ever has, and they also needed him to do it without getting into foul trouble, because there wasn't much behind him that could step in and take his place. And Mike did it. And Peyton Banks, he gets onto one of those roles. He equaled his career high with 24. He gets onto one of those roles, it makes a big difference. All right, take a break. We'll come back with more of the Suit Clam Bake in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
UConn goes for 100 tonight in women's basketball, led by Luigi Auriemma. Like Luigi Auriemma, that's actually his name, you know. Do you know that?
Never knew that.
He was in a small town near Naples in Italy, and came over to this. First time he was ever in a car, I believe, was when his family made the move to America and they drove to the airport. It's the first time I could think he'd ever been in a car. He was 7 years old at the time. He did not become a naturalized citizen of the United States until he was 40 years old. Probably didn't know any of this stuff, did you?
Did not know any of that.
You're in shock.
Very impressed.
I thought my brother made the best point of all the other day when we were talking about this. And he said, imagine being Muffet McGraw. You have one really, really good team after another. You have one title. That's because of this group. Remember, this is the year that this was supposed to be an off year for UConn. They haven't lost yet. They've got South Carolina coming up tonight. It's going to be at Gamble. It's not in Hartford. It's in Storrs. Look, what they've done is remarkable. You always get into these typical talk show debates. Hey, you know, should they fire this person? Fire that person? Like, okay, right. Like you know enough to know. And then, of course, you'll get into with Gino. Could he coach a man's team? Irrelevant. He's great at what he does. Okay? It's irrelevant.
Yeah, why would you give up the gig? It's kind of like Nick Saban in Alabama, the highest paid employee in the state of Alabama. Why would you leave that gig and try to coach pro again?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's like, could he coach a man's team? I don't care. do I care? He's great at the job he has. What's another one? Another one is, is he the greatest coach of all time? I don't know. But he's darn good at what he does. He's got 11 national championships. He has been the head coach for the United States team and won 3 gold medals. Okay? He has thrown his heart and soul into it. You know, his favorite sport actually growing up is baseball. Loves baseball. That was actually his favorite sport. But, you know, tonight UConn is going to get the full treatment by ESPN. So if there's ever a debate about is UConn, their dominance, good or bad for women's basketball, women's basketball gets a full commercial tonight, courtesy of what UConn has done. And by the way, Kyla Irwin from State College is a member of the UConn women's basketball team. She's played in 21 of the 24 games this year as a true freshman. But he believes in fundamentals. He believes in passing. He believes in good shooting. He believes in flow to the game. He's very big in the flow of the game being a beautiful game to watch. He's not big in the tractor pulls. And let's give him all the credit in the world. I believe what the North Carolina women's soccer team, I want to say, won 92 in a row. So it is at 99 in a row, which is where they are now. It is a remarkable feat. It all started, in 2014 when they beat Creighton? They haven't lost since. And remember, this is the year they were supposed to lose. And they play everybody. They play Notre Dame. They play Baylor. They play South Carolina. They play everybody. It's not like they bypass people and just play the cupcakes and then they get a little luck in the tournament. They play everybody.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Ford is having their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from 4 city blocks of new Fords. SMC has 85 new Ford F-150s to choose from.
It's America's best-selling truck for 40 straight years for a reason.
See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. 2016 F-150s are slashed over $12,500. And 2017s start at just $24,953. And from over 30 of the top-selling 2017 Ford Escapes, starting at $18,880.
This is the lowest price since President Bush was in the White House.
SMC also has 14 2017 Ford Focuses, starting as low as $13,975. Plus 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models. Don't miss the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Get the rehearsal dinner taken care of for my daughter.
Wonderful.
So, yes. Yes, it will be once all the bills are in. All right, so. Just kidding.
Last spring, we were talking about all the tuitions now out of the way and thought that money was going to go out. You probably had that money going towards somewhere else. Oh, well, okay. Wedding. There you go.
Oh, no. I back in June. I mean, he proposed to her back in June.
Oh,
and we
okay.
knew it was going to happen in
oh,
a year.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
No, I've known. No. I've known. He's in the Air Force. So there's only certain times he can do this. So
and he was he made it in, he made it back to your, he made it back to your place by what Christmas time, right? Yeah.
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact, and withstood the interrogation. And I can tell you right now, it wasn't by me. I'm without question the easy one. Okay, he can survive her interrogation. He can survive the Air Force. All right, so
it makes the words vetting process sound pretty mild.
But, vetting? Oh no. Okay. What Trump wants vetting wise is nothing compared to this. All right. They could put my wife in charge of Homeland Security. You'd see vetting on everything. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. I believe we'll hear from Matt Leon here a little bit later in the show. We talked about UConn women's basketball earlier. We'll stay with the basketball theme for a moment. The NCAA put out the selection committee. It's top four seeds in each region. There are no Big Ten teams there, which is fine. I understood that. They're probably on the five line, that's perfectly fine. There is really very little difference between the five line and the four line. Now, you have to face the 12 seed in the first round as opposed to a 13. So, yeah, okay. But the difference is that if you both win, it's just the color of uniform in the next round. So it isn't that big a deal. Now, some have asked a legitimate question, and I think, and it's legitimate, which I can give the answer to, and that is, would this affect the number of Big Ten teams in the tournament since nobody's above the four line? And I can understand why, like how many compressed. Didn't you have on certain lines? It does not. And here's the reason it does not. In all likelihood, the Big Ten will get seven with an outside chance at eight. How it works is not how you think it works. I'm sure you think, well, yeah, the Big Ten, you know, you're a Big Ten team, so you're going to get, you know, you're going to be one of the seven or eight, you know. Conference does not enter into your selection as an at-large team. Each school is judged on individual merit. I'll give you an example. Let me give you two teams on the four line right now. One is Butler and the other is Duke. Well, hey, look at Duke. It's Duke, Duke, Duke. And they do not sit there and say, Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, and ACC versus Butler, Big East. They don't do that. They sit down and they look at the individual resumes of each school, Team A, Team B. Your conference does not enter into it. Now, where your conference does enter into it is degree of difficulty in schedule. But even then, remember this. Okay, the Patriot League, for example, which is only going to get one bid, that's from the tournament champion. But the Patriot League is different than the Power Five leagues because in the Patriot League, you play everybody twice. So everybody ends up with an equal schedule. Everybody plays at Holy Cross. Everybody has Holy Cross at home. Well, in the Big Ten, it's not like that. no two conference schedules are created equally because you have 18 conference games with 14 schools. And because of that, some schools play, every school plays five home and aways and 8-1 plays. Not everybody plays the same home and aways. Penn State, for example, their home and aways this year are Purdue, Indiana, Minnesota, Rutgers, and Illinois. Everybody else they play once. The next part is, who do you play at home? Who do you play on the road? Again, that's not created equally. So even when you have two conference schools head-to-head, they have different schedules, even in the conference. So it becomes a little more difficult to start sitting here and saying, well, you know, here they play a Big Ten schedule. Not all Big Ten schedules are created equally. Penn State this year, I mentioned the 5-1 plays. The four road games in conference that are one plays include Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, and Michigan. Those are the four they play on the road. Not exactly the easiest. I mean, some may have their one plays on the road might be, I don't know, pick them. Rutgers, Ohio State, Illinois, and that'd be another one. Now, at that point, you can kind of pick anybody because everybody's pretty evenly bunched. But you might have the easiest one plays on the road of anybody. I don't know. You don't know. I think they've got to make some changes in this somewhere. And I think you've got to think maybe a little bit outside the box to do it. I know they tried this in the... I don't think it was tremendously successful in the SEC. But I think you've got to come up with a model that creates at least some rivalries and some consistency. And I know in the Big Ten East in football, all year, Penn State is going to play Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers. Maryland has been in this league. Maryland has now been in this league for three seasons. In three seasons, do you know how many times Penn State has played Maryland in basketball? Four times. That's it. Four. They played home and away the first year, then they played in December of last year, then didn't play until 14 months later here. Right? So this was bringing them into the conference, and hey, I think we're going to develop a nice rivalry between the two. Well, how about having them play? I'm sorry, but that doesn't make any sense to me. So maybe you should consider maybe a model of 19 games where you play six schools home and away, and you start out by having the six schools home and away be your six regional schools. Play home and away with Michigan State, home and away with Michigan, home and away with Ohio State, home and away with Indiana, home and away with Rutgers, and home and away with Maryland. Okay? Where you develop some real deep-seated rivalries within a section of a bigger conference. That way, Iowa and Nebraska are playing home and away. Okay? Wisconsin and Minnesota are playing home and away. Northwestern and Illinois are playing home and away. Why not? And then you take the other seven one plays, and you know that every year, every 2 years, you're going to have that team at home. You at least bring some consistency to the schedule. Now, how do you then work the tournament? That's a good question. There are always unintended consequences with these things. But how do you work that? All right, you've got to be able to work that. And I think you can work it because there's enough intelligent people there to do it. Because right now there's not any rhyme or reason from year to year as to what we see, actually both in football and in men's basketball. For example, shows up on next year's schedule in football out of nowhere. So you would assume that, okay, Penn State's playing Nebraska at home in 17. Great. So in other words, quote, we're going to Lincoln in 18? Nope. They're nowhere to be found in the schedule after next year. Okay, Penn State suddenly plays a game with Wisconsin. Okay, and the return game is up. We don't know. So, I mean, I don't get what we're seeing. I don't understand it. Yeah, they play Iowa back-to-back, you know, home at Beaver Stadium, at Kinnick Stadium next year. Great. Okay, I like that. Okay. Northwestern was on 2 years ago. Weren't on this year. They're on next year. Huh? What? So I don't quite, unless it's locked in a vault, I have no idea what the philosophy is on this. But I think basketball needs to develop at least some rivalry a little bit somewhere. And the conference is so big now. Say they ever go to a super conference of 16. Which is not out of the realm in 7 or 8 years, once the grant of rights is up for other conferences. I mean, the Big Ten's grant of rights doesn't run out till 2032, but the grant of rights runs out in like 24 in the Big 12. I mean, that's, we may get down to 4 super conferences by 2025 in this country. We'll see. But you've got to get a handle on the scheduling part and not let it get too out of control. So back to the tournament now. That's why you have to look at individual resumes one by one and not just say, oh, there's a Big Ten school, let's take a look. Again, not even within the conference are two schedules alike. Makes it more difficult. Gonzaga, the fourth number one seed. I would have probably put them as a 2 or a 3 number one seed. Villanova's number one. Baylor's schedule, the way they played this year, has been great. And obviously Kansas has really come on. But Gonzaga being the fourth number one seed, that kind of reeks of a little bit of elitism. Wow, it's Gonzaga. Have you seen who Gonzaga's beaten this year? I mean, Gonzaga this year, in their non-conference, you know, in your position like Gonzaga, for example, you do have to play more of the non-con with some juice in it compared to other people. Right now, they're number one in the KenPom rankings, Gonzaga is. So even in the analytic of KenPom, very impressive. But these are the teams they've beaten this year. Non-con beat San Diego State by 21. Beat Florida by 5. They're on the 3 line. Beat Iowa State by 2. Arizona's right there in the top 16. Beat them by 7. Washington's not that great. The Fultz kid is awesome. Maybe the first overall pick in the draft. But they played them at home. Beat them by 27. Tennessee beat them by 10. I mean, that's who they played non-con this year. I mean, those are the teams they loaded up on. Then they get in conference, and they've won both their home and aways with St. Mary's. They've already won at BYU. I mean, it's a pretty doggone good schedule they've faced. Much better schedule than people realize. Now, obviously, you're going to hit that part of the schedule where you've got San Francisco twice, Loyola Marymount twice, Portland twice, Pepperdine twice, Santa Clara twice. Okay, I understand that. I do get that part. I mean, I get that. But it's, well. And in the KenPom rankings, Gonzaga's 1, Virginia's 2, Villanova's 3, West Virginia's 4, Louisville is 5. Louisville has all their players. Louisville, scary. Number 2. Very scary. Dick in Milton joins us. Hello, Dick. How are you today?
I'm good, Steve. I just wanted to comment. I heard you talking about Gonzaga. Look, I don't get to watch them very often because when they're on TV, it's late, and I go to bed too early for that. But I watched them a little bit against St. Mary's the other night. I think I watched maybe 5 or 6 minutes of that ball game, and they were both horrible, at least the minutes I watched. They went for, both of them went for 3 or 4 minutes, and other than make a couple foul shots, I don't think they made a basket. And maybe it's just they know each other that well, but they were just awful. I couldn't imagine what everybody was so hepped up about. And maybe the rest of their year they played great. I don't know how.
That game was a game. That game was going to be a game of pace. St. Mary's does that, Dick. St. Mary's only averages 61 possessions a game. So they try to really clamp it down, and they want 60 to be a big number. I think the fact Gonzaga went in there, broke 70, and won the game on the road, that completely impressed me. And
Maybe it was just the 5 minutes of the game I watched. I'm not sure either our team made a field goal in that time, in the time that I turned it on, because I just don't watch them very often. But there were a couple of foul shots made in that.
Right.
If you went back and looked, at you could trace it back to when I watched them. It was just, and I'm thinking, holy cripes, these two teams don't look any better than some of the teams I watch in the Patriot League. And just for at least that 5 minutes, anyhow. And the other thing I did notice, that St. Mary's looked like an old high school gym.
That's because, I mean, it really is. I mean, that's as old-fashioned as old-fashioned. But
right.
Gonzaga's really good. And they're not just a little bit good.
Well, they have
they're
to be to get
really
that kind of a rating. Other people watch them. It's just that I must have just saw their lowest point of the season, at least for that 5 minutes or whatever.
Well, like I said, when you've beaten San Diego State, Florida, Iowa State, Arizona, Washington, and Tennessee, and I mean, you do that, I think you've established yourself as already with pretty strong credentials. You're right. The conference doesn't help them, but also St. Mary's kind of dumbs the game down a little bit because they don't want to get into a game with any kind of pace, and that does enter into it. And I talked about that Friday on the show, that pace would be the key. I think they ran just enough pace, you know, to win a game like that in the road. They will not be challenged the rest of the way in the conference.
Well, we'll see how they make out in the NCAAs. I'm sure they'll win. They'll get some games. I'm not sure they're a Final Four team, just watching them, but they're about, I'll let it go at that. Anyhow, and I wanted to comment one other thing. I happened to watch quite a bit, not the whole game, of Fordham and George Mason. And George Mason is really, I think Paulson's really done a nice job with that team. They're not very tall. I want to say they're kind of overmatched in size in most every game they play, but they really play well. Their leading rebounder is a guard. I mean, they're good.
Yeah, and they have great flow to it. They've got great flow to it. You could see.
You there? I might have lost you.
What was that, Dick? I'm sorry.
I might have lost you. Yep. I didn't know what you.
Yeah, I lost you there for a second. Yeah, they have great flow to it. And I really like, you can see Dave's influence on the offense right away because they have a nice pace to what they do.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good Fordham really is this year, but in that particular game, I thought George Mason played a pretty nice offense and all defense. And as I say, they're overmatched almost every game in size quite a bit, at least inside. But they play good position and they rebound
exactly.
Well.
Yeah,
when you saw them live when they played Penn State, they played pretty well that game.
They played great that game and once this year too. And so I thought that was a good win for them because I saw Fordham play once. And I actually thought Fordham was pretty good. I mean, I saw them in Madison Square Garden.
All right, I'll let you go. I just heard you talking about Gonzaga, and we'll see how they fare in the NCAA tournament. I just don't see them as a Final Four team. I'd be shocked if they are.
I honestly believe they get at minimum to the second weekend. I mean, I really do think they're that good. I mean, I think they get to the second weekend as long as they can keep the big guy out of foul trouble. That's the big part. But they've got three transfers that came into that program that everybody wondered about because they lost Kyle Wilcher to the draft. He was a fifth-year player anyway. And they lost Sabonis early to the draft, and Sabonis is a really nice player. That's Arvydas Sabonis' son. So I kind of wonder if this would be a down year for them, and instead it's been quite the opposite. The three transfers have been what they hoped they would be. I mean, they're scorers, they're rebounders, and I think they fit well with what he's doing. And I think that the last thing you want to do is take that group lightly. Okay, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.